Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we're here to talk about Season 8, Episode 4, which we just finished watching along with the rest of you. Aaron, what'd you think?
I don't like going first.
You got to. Somebody's got to go first.
Well, as you know, Jim, I declared fan bankruptcy on the spoiler podcast last Friday. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I didn't ride the market to the ground, because I might, there'd be some quibbles I'd have with this episode. But, I mean, I said in the preseason that I really hope they don't go down the Dany and Jon can't trust each other, that she has a big problem with the claim to his throne, that like that's going to feel to me like out of nowhere and out of her existing character development. My bank account's broke, so it's really easy for me to be like, okay, sure, whatever, you know.
If there's even a dollar in that bank account.
Yeah, and like this Miss Sandy, I mean, I feel like they did a pretty good job of selling it with the buildup of the, you know, but like, I don't know, the whole killing a dragon, like instantaneously, this, they got
this is the ambush, the surprise attack. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Dany didn't see that from a mile high. And also the whole, I don't know, those crossbows mounted on ships, and ships are going topsy-turvy, and
I thought everything was
no
cool.
One's ever engaged in range combat, and and Euron just plucked that dragon right out of the sky.
Yeah, well, I mean, how do you one-up the Targaryen ancestors? You mount their fucking crossbow bolt things on ships.
Bristling.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
I wonder why Cersei doesn't just murder Tyrion. Like, and I look, don't send me emails like, well, they've got, like, diplomatic immunity. I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on. War. And there's also a guest right. These are like that she could have taken out Danny's hand right then and there. Seems like they were all in those weird scorpion range. Like this is an all out war. Like no one's stopping until the other's dead. It felt that way. So again, it's like, yes, I guess this is okay, but the staging I think was a little bit weak. Now, what do you think? Because I feel like you're a lot more positive on it than me.
Yeah, I think so. I think they've been telling this story with Dany for a while, and I think, like you said, the way they arranged it actually worked out pretty well. Sandy was very important to her. This threat from Jon came out of nowhere, and it's this very intimate betrayal that I truly believe would ruffle her feathers and throw her off her footing. And I think they've done a pretty good job telling me the story of Dany could just go in there and slaughter everyone in King's Landing if she's pushed far enough, and this seems to have pushed her far enough. I'm happy with that. I liked so it was a little bit weird. There were maybe some weird edits or something in the first like kind of series of scenes where they're all reveling in their victory, but that was a really fun moment for everybody.
Right.
Tormund, you know, being one of my least favorite characters, also was great in that scene. He brought a lot of comic relief that we needed.
Bringing a lot of book Tormund personality to him.
Yeah, and you got the hookup with Bran and Jaime. Like
There's so much I liked in this episode. Like Jon's speech, about the shields that defended the realms of men, and you know, giving honor to all the dead. I thought that was really cool. The meal was kind of uncomfortable because I kept on expecting like the Reigns of Castamere to start playing. You know, like that's the way it's shot, and like wouldn't that be something else? And then playing the games of questions and Jamie, I've never slept with the night before. Like all that stuff was really good. But there's a point where Dany's watching the Northerners fawn over Jon, and
there were some weird reaction shots. They had this Sansa looking on,
slow mo, and then the ominous horn started playing, and then suspicious Varys slid into the background, and I'm
you,
like,
you know, it's bad.
And I'm like, oh no, why can't we just have fun for a minute? Why can't we just kick in Cersei's ass? Why does it have to? Because I do think it's a little out of. I do think it's a little out of Daenerys's character to just wantonly slaughter men, women, and children to get to her goal when all of her advisors gave really good advice, like down the line, everyone that's been loyal to her from the beginning to end, like, hey, let's choke this thing off. Let's apply some pressure. I mean, that's, I don't know, you can debate the morality of starving people versus killing them with dragon fire, but
sure,
you know, people are going to die either way. I feel like a lot less die on the whole siege thing, but I mean, Dany does get hot-headed and does stupid shit. It's just like usually when she lashes out, it's against the people that, if they didn't deserve it, they at least were benefiting from the oppression of a people.
Sure.
And this is just like, no, we're just going to fuck the small folk at King's Landing.
Yeah, I mean,
she's bad.
She's on the precipice here. Like, if she goes in dragons blazing, or dragon blazing, yeah, she's going to turn out to be a potentially evil character. But yeah. I really do think that story has been told. Her advisors have been advising her poorly the entire time. Tyrion, Varys, none of them saw this fucking ambush coming.
Yeah.
They should have. You know, they were too busy worrying about who's going to be king and who's going to be queen in the end of this to get through the fucking present so there can even be a king or queen.
Varys and Tyrion's brains, no worky. They broken. I don't...
Here's the thing I love. I do love... Because I always thought, oh, wouldn't it be so cool to see Varys and Tyrion working together to pull off one big heist of King's Landing, right?
Right.
Figure out this whole puzzle. How are they going to take down Cersei?
Ocean's 11 it.
Almost kind of cooler to see George Clooney and Brad Pitt against each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with different goals at odds. I'm kind of excited to see what's going to happen here. Because I think after this event, Tyrion's got a lot to think about.
Yeah.
That look on Danny's face at the end.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Also, John, just like I did like the fact that it pays off at John, that John's doing the classic Ned Stark mistake of like, you got to pick a side, man. You can't. If you're going to make this Dany thing work, you got to, like, even if she's crazy. Mm-hmm. Putting this restriction on you, you still gotta go with it, right? Or like, you know, maybe you keep it,
did.
And then like,
yeah,
you can also
so torn.
Like,
you're
if
right.
you can keep the secret for a year or two, maybe like, and once people start getting together, you can always. But like, this is a fucking powder keg, and it's just smacks of Ned trying to warn Cersei so she can get her kids out.
Well,
it's just dumb. It has no. It's and that's fine because that's part of his character too. But
yeah,
you know.
But I thought this was going to be John's John, if you know what I mean. Like, Ned had John, right, as his big secret that he kept, that he promised to keep from everyone, and he did it.
Yeah.
He fucking did it.
For the good of the realm.
Right, but John couldn't do that for the good of the realm like
it
his
actually
father
even wasn't
did.
For the good of the realm, it's for the good of like your sister's father. Memory. Like, that's the John. Like, it wasn't like if Robert finds out about John and murders him, it doesn't improve or take away from the realm at all. Like, so this is... for the good of the realm and for the...
Too honest. He's even maybe more honest than his father? Is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah,
more
maybe.
Honest, more loyal, more everything?
Maybe.
I don't know. It's causing problems, though, and I kind of like it. I like the setup.
So like I said, I really liked everything with Jamie and Brienne. Jeanne, because I was... openly shipping them, so that was right, kind of cool. It sucks that Jamie breaks her heart. I felt like
he should have
done a better job articulating what he's going.
Yeah, he's definitely going to kill Cersei. Right?
I think so.
It feels
like. I thought he would be like, "Hey, strap you on your armor. Let's go down and do it together." Like, you don't understand. Let's Bonnie and Clyde this shit. This isn't me like going to defend her, but couldn't find the words, Jamie. It's tongue tied.
And now, even if he tries to go back after the deed is done to Brienne. What's she gonna think?
I don't know. Sounds like the Hound is still co-signing, that he's got unfinished business to Capitol. I do love the fact that the Hound Arya Roadshow's back together.
Hell yes. That was one of the best moments. The other best moment, in my opinion, is when Varys and Tyrion are talking about treason. Uh-huh. And Varys tells Tyrion that he's drinking a lot. And just the look that Tyrion gives him, like, say something.
Right.
Yeah, and what? You wouldn't if you were in my situation?
That was a good scene, though, like the fact that these guys are trying to, like, duel over their interpretations of how they should be loyal to the queen or the realm, and I don't know. I just feel like it feels like, because they're playing this and they're playing a lot of catch-up, so they can't be subtle. They have to, like, just really, it's not quite Anakin murdering the younglings kind of, like, hairpin, but it's the tires are definitely going... as they're going around the corner, you know? And I feel like, unfortunately, when Tyrion's like, you got to pick a side, and I trust this queen, like, it's been really undercut. Like, it's hard to make the argument if you're from, you know, Tyrion's position. It feels like it's obviously that Varys is in the right. Doesn't that hurt, like, further hurt Tyrion's, like, credibility as a smart person?
Yeah, a lot of this does. I mean, he thought he could talk Cersei out of killing Missandei and bringing this war on just by referencing her children, and, like, you know, he doesn't quite know her the way he thinks he does. And the same goes for Daenerys, I think.
What do you think about, because, like I said, I encourage everyone to declare fan bankruptcy. What do you think about the Legion of Fans? Because I don't know if you followed the, like, r/ Song of Ice and Fire and some of the threads that are going around. And it seems like there was a lot of people trying to hang on, like, a greater Night King theory. Like, that he's
coming back?
He isn't really dead.
Come on, people.
After another 90 minutes of Game of Thrones, do you think that that's got... Do you think that they're going to win doubling down on Black like that? Or?
No. I think if you're holding that for a secondary winter here, you're in for some disappointment.
You're going to lose your shirt, people. You got to get out. You got to get out now. Got to get out now.
Yeah, you're like Tyrion betting on Daenerys.
How do you think about... I mean, it seems obvious that this is the end of Ghost.
Yeah, I feel like Ghost got fucked.
Got it. Like, he got his ear torn off, and he got about 60 seconds of screen time this season.
The worst is we didn't get to see the ear torn off. Like, the story that this vision of Ghost tells is one that is badass heroism,
right?
And we got to see none of it.
Look, if I had a buddy, and he had a puppy that he raised from birth... and he moves in with a new girlfriend and he gets rid of the puppy, he's a piece of shit. Now, this buddy presumably doesn't have a psychic bond with the said puppy.
Yeah.
I just think it's like you're sending your dog to the... You're sending your dog with your college drinking buddy instead of, like, taking him into your new... Like, what the fuck?
The problem is...
Oh, he'll be more comfortable with you.
He's going to come crawling back when he hears about the death of the dragon. Mm. He's going to be like, oh, fuck. Fuck! I'm sorry.
Traded
Ghost.
Up on pets.
I really fucked up here. You know, I never actually loved.
Right.
What, a Viserion?
Right.
No, that's the other one. Rhaegal.
Rhaegal. Yeah.
I never loved Rhaegal. It was always you, Ghost. Mm-hmm. I'm back. Just you and me versus the world.
God.
Oh, it's gonna be so sad. So pathetic. Almost as pathetic as Danny was this episode, begging John not to tell anybody.
Confirmation of the classic Varys as a hidden Merling theory.
I mean, he survived.
I mean,
in,
like,
the ocean.
He said, you throw him in the ocean, you might be surprised what happens. He fucking dog paddle all the way back home. Wee, wee, wee.
Yeah. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues. But then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question. Who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV+, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
We're good.
getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and ball move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of bald movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
What else we want to talk about?
Oh boy, what else happened? A lot of stuff happened this episode, but I don't remember much.
I loved everything about Braun.
Oh yeah,
Braun popping in and being like, "No one forget about me. I'm going to. If you guys don't do, he's going to be Lord of Highgarden."
Well,
that's fucking hilarious.
So, when he said what could possibly double River Run, I said before Tyrion did Highgarden,
right?
And turns out Highgarden.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, Braun, this is the lot of Braun, right? Like, Braun has been relegated to promises the entire series. Mm-hmm. And up until the third to last episode, Braun is still getting more fucking promises. Yeah. And I love it.
He's never
actually had his hands on a castle.
I feel like he's got the real pressure, though. Like, you know, he's at the drop. Like he told Jamie, you couldn't do it on your best day, you one-arm fuck, and your best days are long behind him. And obviously Tyrion's no match for Braun, so they either make good on their promise, which I don't know how the hell they would do that with, like, what's Dany going to say about giving that big of a plum away?
She gave Gendry a castle.
Right. And the other thing is, like, I also feel like that Dany has a little bit of a grievance because... You know, the armies of the North pledged to fight for her, but, like, all the wildlings are going home.
Yeah.
I mean, she helped on the fight. Like, I guess Tormund's not really an affiliated, you know, he doesn't swear allegiance to Jon. They're independent. Mm-hmm. So Jon couldn't speak for him, but I feel like maybe that's where Dany got pissed when she sees Tormund saying, oh, you're such a great guy, you're a king, you're this and you're that, and I'm taking my people and I'm going home.
Yeah. No, it's Danny's losing allies on every side.
Tormund being heartbroken over Brienne, pretty funny.
It was.
As was Tyrion, and Pod playing Chief Cockblocker to Tormund.
Pod ended up with, I think, both the girl who approached him and also the girl who approached the Hound.
Probably, because the Hound was having
none of it. I saw him
go
off with two ladies.
Yeah.
And they seemed very cozy. The other thing we didn't talk about is Brienne and Jaime. Their scene
is good.
Yeah, not the it's scene sweet. About leaving to save Cersei, but their scene.
I like that. I liked Tyrion trying to do the debriefing with his brother. Like, come on, I haven't had sex for years. You got to give me some details. And then trying all the tall people jokes. Like, it's good to see you finally have to climb for it.
Finally, I can broaden out from dick jokes, dickless jokes.
Yeah, I can move on to you're missing your good arm and you have to climb. And she's a couple inches taller than you in pumps. Yeah. So.
A couple is an understatement, but yes.
Yeah.
Very tall.
How much of Dany if she does, in fact, turn into some kind of Dark Queen stuff, how much of that is because Missandei yells Dracarys before she jumps off the...
It's not zero.
Because I thought she'd be like, long live Dany, or, you know, I'm... She should have
shouted, like, Marine, or, like remember the lessons that you've learned along the way, right? Don't give in to your anger.
But it seems like Missandei's kind of like, nah, fuck this. Mm-hmm. These people all ought to burn. So...
Yeah.
You know, someone's last words that are very important to you is essentially avenge me with fire and blood.
Yeah, no, it doesn't paint a good picture of the future.
Yeah, and she's going to, so what are the odds that she just, like, she takes King's Landing and burns it to a crisp? And, I mean, there's a couple things, though, because Arya and the Hound, I feel like, have to get to the capital.
Yeah.
Because obviously Dany flying and boating got there faster, and maybe Arya and Hound can travel a little bit faster than Jon and the army, but not like a lot faster. So like it seems like Jon's going to get there before the Battle of King's Landing is over.
Yes.
And do you think he's going to stop her? Do you think it's going to be?
No, I think I expect that Arya will make it inside that castle, or inside the walls of King's Landing. I don't know if she'll actually, you know, be the one to kill Cersei. It seems like she's getting all the cool deaths.
I was going to say, she's going to kill Cersei, she's going to kill Qyburn, she's going to kill the Mountain.
Yeah, and the Night King.
She's going to kill Bronn.
It's just, it's the Arya show at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Game of Arya's.
Yeah, she's going to kill the new Fuken legend of Jyn Alley. She's got a list of names a mile long. So Gendry proposed, obviously, as the Lord of Storm's End. Do you think Arya turns that down, like, permanent, or do you think that... Because she also said, I'm not planning on coming back. Now, that might just be like, hey, I'm either going to succeed or die, but I feel like she's got a very good chance of succeeding.
Sure.
In fact, the whole time I was thinking, I'm like, when Euron was standing behind Cersei, and, like, Cersei looked like she might be backing down, I'm like, whoa, if Arya decloaks off her bow here, like, it could be over in this episode. But then what would they do for two more? I don't know.
I don't know. The denouement.
three hours of denouement.
You might need that for this show. I don't know.
I hope we just get 90 minutes of Brienne and Jaime. So what they're up to.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Or should we get to the instant talk part?
Yeah.
So we're obviously not done talking about Game of Thrones this week. We have the instant talk if you're a club member, where we consider some feedback for our fellow fans have been queuing up here. We've got Tuesday to full coverage podcast, Friday to spoiler version, and lots more stuff going on next week. If you want to join us on instant talk, you go to club.baldmove.com. There's only a day or two left to get that 25% off annual membership. Renewals are new. If you want to get in on this instant talk, it's the last week, the last couple of days, in fact, of locking those savings. All right, time for the instant talk.